It's great to be back. I get asked often, how's retirement going? And I'm not really sure how to answer that because I'm not really sure how that we've really kind of started with this retirement stuff. We've had a lot of moving parts in our lives as well, but Ken, it was my privilege to get to know Steve, and I'll never forget the wedding and the reception when I got to sit with Steve and your sister, and you know, when Steve entered heaven, I get the sense that it was a whoop, 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 because these guys know, they know every Three Stooges movie and every line. I mean, it's amazing. And to hear them begin to play off of one another, it was quite an experience. And to know of Steve's commitment to the Lord and his church, and sorry for your loss, but glad for heaven's gain. And as believers, this ain't all there is it?
Amen.
Are you with me? Amen. This is not all that there is. Hallelujah for that. That's for sure. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Happy day indeed. Here's what the prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Later on, Dr. Luke says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, a verse that you all could, I'm sure, quote, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the result of that will be what?
Witnesses.
You're going to be witnesses. To me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth, like Hong Kong. Listen. This is happening in the government building in Hong Kong. That's not fake news. That's the good news. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. All that stuff you've seen on television, this is the church that's happening in Hong Kong. 2 million strong. Our son is in Hong Kong and he shot this video.
Amen.
And Now, indeed, it is a political movement. But as Isaiah says earlier, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Actually, the psalmist says that in Psalm 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so the church, many of these were on their knees. If you saw the video shot, they're on their knees. They're around tables. And our son is right in the middle of all of this stuff. He said, Dad, just be real careful what you're saying now. So we talked to him last night, and this is continuing to go on. So the people of Hong Kong up until 97, and this is not a message about them, but, you know, they were under Chinese, they were actually free at that point. And in 97, there was the Chinese re-entering their lives, mainland China from Beijing, and they then gave up their sovereignty, and they went and now are being overseen by Beijing. But they've kind of had enough. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something in just a little bit. One of the things that my son has been a part of there is a thing called the Freedom Wall. And I don't have the footage of that. John was a little concerned about all of that, and if you want to see a footage of that, my wife has that on her phone. I probably have it on mine. I just don't know how to access it. But on the Freedom Wall, there are these sticky notes, and there are messages that are being written on these sticky notes and then stuck on this Freedom Wall. You don't hear anything about that on the news, do you? Well, now you know. I'm going to ask you in a bit to put on a sticky note up here what you want to be freed of. Because you heard this amazing message from Ken Woodward, from Pastor Ken last Sunday. If you were here, you heard it in person. We heard it online. And I'm so grateful that you guys know how to do all that stuff. And much of that has been because of the leadership of this guy right here. As my mother-in-law affectionately calls Michael, Malcolm. Did Malcolm do a good job today? We used to correct her. We don't do that anymore. Malcolm, he's awesome, you know. I'm not kidding. But hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. What good news we have to share. I'm going to put another thing on another sticky note. God bless you, and God bless Tiny Tim. So I guess what I want to say to us all this morning, based upon the beginning of these liberty messages that Ken started last Sunday, is shout it out, church. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. Right? And I'm free because the light is coming in. If you're taking notes, you may find a blank to fill in. I still do those kinds of things. The light is coming in. Indeed, according to Isaiah, the light has already come in. And Ken made us aware last week, in case if you needed to be made aware of this, that light is Jesus. He is the light of the world. Ken used this as a towards the end of his message. He said, him who the Son sets free will be what? Free indeed. I'm saying, shout it out, church. I'm free. I'm free. Shout it out, church. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. I think you'll have it this time. Shout it out, church. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. Yeah. And so he says, as he begins in chapter 60 and verse 1, this amazing worship song that Ken led us in, arise, shine. There are two imperatives in Hebrew. And if you'll back up into chapter 59 of Isaiah's prophecy, you will see that this is the Lord talking. The Lord is saying, God is saying these things to us. He's saying these things, said these things to the folks then. Now, indeed, historically, this was the return of the exiles from Babylonian captivity. And before that, it was Assyrian captivity, a couple hundred years, 150 years or so before that. And so they had been under oppression. They were spread about throughout the land. And now the prophet Isaiah, he sees a time coming when the folks who have been set free will return. Now, indeed, this is a precursor, and it's prophetic, speaking of the Lord Jesus. But it's also here, the writer, as we'll see in 61, is not just the Lord Jesus, but it's whoever has been set free. Whoever is set free needs to be able to do something about it, say something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I say again, shout it out, church. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. Even though this was about the returning exiles from Babylon, the truth is still the truth. The truth is still the same. When those who are bound are set free, when those who are in darkness, and we're told in 59 and in 60, not just darkness. How dark? Deep darkness. We're talking real dark here. And when they come to the place, when we come to the place, when we realize that our darkness has been taken care of, and it was taken care of, as Ken told us, as Malcolm led us in our communion time, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my sin was what? It was rolled away, just like the stone that revealed that Jesus was no longer there. He was alive. He is risen. Hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty reigns, as our Chinese brothers and sisters perhaps are even singing right now as we're worshiping. Those who are bound are set free when those who are in darkness come to the light and they realize that the light is coming in. My. You bet you'll hear them shout it out, I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. As I said, one of the most often asked questions that, you know, I get these days, I got one from a dear friend of mine. I used to be his pastor at our church in Effingham, Illinois. And he called to talk, and his one of the first questions out of his mouth was, so how's retirement? And one of the things that we wanted to do those first 3 months that we really never got a chance to do for a variety of reasons, for health reasons and things from my mother-in-law, was we wanted to visit churches that we had some connection with, and to visit churches that have been dear to us in the 50-plus years of ministry. And We have not really gotten to do much about all of that, but we did get to visit one church that I want to tell you about. It's a church located in Ashmore, not Ashland, but Ashmore, Illinois. Yep. And gosh, I must, that's all I got. That's kind of all I got to wear these days, isn't it, Mark? It's kind of black. People that wear black and that wear their shirts on the outside, you know what that means. Yeah, they're trying to hide something. And So this little community maybe has, what do you think, Sally, 100 people, 120 people? It was 1971. It's been my privilege to get a chance to be a part of two honest-to-goodness revivals. And I know some men never get a chance to experience one. And by revival, I don't just mean a bunch of people getting baptized in a church. I mean a community getting changed and transformed. And in 1971, I was my third year in college. And I did a lot of work in those days with an evangelist friend. And we would travel about the state so long as I could get back, usually on weekends for me, but so long as I could get back for classes and stuff. I was one of those that actually went to classes. One of those first experiences was in 1971 in a place called Ashmore, Illinois. And they were having a series of revival meetings. That always makes me laugh, as if we were the ones that scheduled revivals. You know, I think we'll have a revival in August. Oh, really? Okay. And God says, well, why not right now? See? And said, well, I'm sorry, we've got something to do right now. But August, we got time for you in August. So this was a revival meeting that was scheduled. And I'll be done in a little bit. That was my wife yawning, by the way. Maybe 100, 120 folks were there that live in the city. I think the first night, I think the little church there runs about 50, something like that. And heaven came down. And people began to give their hearts to Christ. They began to discover that they had been set free. I guess one of the first that kind of was the breaking of all of that was the owner of the John Deere. That's all they had is John Deere. Big John Deere implement. They got more tractors there than they got people. But and he gave his heart to Christ, mayor of this little town. And that was one night. Then the next night, we went to the chairman of the deacon's house, okay? I used to say, it used to get me in a lot of trouble that the trouble with most churches is that they're deacon possessed. So I won't say that. But we were at his house, and I guess it was maybe, it was late at night, maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock. His little four-year-old girl was still up, which was kind of crazy, but they wanted to entertain the evangelist, you know, and all that stuff. And I wish I could tell you that I was the one that shared the gospel with him. Jim Coffey. His name just kind of... But it was his four-year-old daughter who got up in his lap and says, Daddy, I'm going to heaven. Are you? And it seemed like there was silence that went on forever. It was probably just a second or two. And there at about 11, 11:30 at night, it was our privilege to get a chance to pray with Jim, chairman of the deacons, give his heart to Christ. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. That's what these men were saying. Well, that was days 1 and 2. The meeting began to attract people. Well, the meeting didn't. God began to bring people. And the meeting was then protracted. You know what that means? It was deemed that, you know, God's doing something here. Thank God for that pastor. And we need to keep meeting. And so that went on for days. The last night, we would set chairs up in the aisles to where there was no place to walk. And chairs down the outside, there was no place to walk. Once you were in, you were in. There were chairs in the foyer. There were people standing outside. There were cars lining the streets. There were only about four of them. Four streets. And people just began to give their hearts to Christ. God showed up big time. It was a real turning point for my wife. That was the first date Sally and I ever had. I took her to a church meeting. It was been downhill kind of all since then. Now it's been uphill. And the evangelist and I, that we had traveled together quite a bit, and he, after all of these people had come to make decisions of one kind or another, he wanted me to counsel with the men. And so he thought, well, Doug's girlfriend's here, so we'll just have her counsel with the ladies. She had no clue what to do, because all she had ever learned about her salvation experience was from her little country church years before, when she, as a young teenager, 12, 13, gave her heart to Christ because she saw Billy Graham on television. And in those days, if you remember, Billy had an index finger about that long. And at the tail end of his message, he would always look into the camera and he'd say, "Those of you." That's kind of the way he sounded too, wasn't it? "Those of you, you know, if you've given your heart to Christ, you come, we'll wait." And then he'd stand back. "Those of you on the moon, you come, we wait." You know, I mean, it was, you know, it just went on and on, you know, like that. Well, whenever he did that, Sally knew that he was talking to her. And there, a little table in her bedroom, in her little country house, she gave her heart to Christ. And she went and told the preacher that very next, because Billy used to always say, "Now, if you've made this decision, you go to your church and you tell the pastor what you've..." You know what I'm talking about, right? You tell the pastor what you've done, and then you be baptized. So she did. The church that she was in believed in baptismal regeneration, which means you're not saved until you're baptized, which... find that in there. But anyway, that I digress. So she, on the second verse, actually on the first verse of "Just As I Am," that was the verse, that was the song they sang every Sunday. Verse 1 and 4. And nobody ever walked the aisle. No one ever did that except that Sunday. And Sally, she went and she came forward and it shocked everyone. They didn't know what to do. It's like, "Well, I guess we better sing another verse, you know." So she comes forward and the preacher says, "Why are you coming?" And something like this, as she would tell it. She'd say, "Well, you know, I was watching Billy Graham and he said, 'Give your heart to Christ.' He shared the gospel. And so I believe the gospel. I believe that God did something for me through Jesus, that which I could never do for myself." That's the gospel. And he said, "Go to your church and tell your preacher and then be baptized." And so here is the only discipleship that this man, God bless him, but God help us as pastors, that the only thing he ever did for Sally was he said, "Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God?" Who doesn't believe that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Hare Krishnas and Muslims and you name somebody, they all believe that. Oh, yeah, he was son of God. Kind of deal. But that was it. That was the only discipleship she ever got until she got to that Ashmore revival. When the evangelist said, Sally, would you go into this room over here and share with the ladies? Would you counsel with them? And she was just mortified. Counsel with them? What does that mean? What am I supposed to tell them? And that was the beginning of her real walk with the Lord, where she began to get into God's word and understand just what God had done for him. That God, through Jesus, had done something for her that she could never do for herself. And she needed to get to know this God in a deeper way. Oh, the last night of that meeting, 375 people were there. Wow. There were 120 people in the town. Wow. 75 teenagers gave their heart to Christ that week. More than a week. So, of all of the churches and things and experiences that I've been able to have, yeah, that's been one of those that I wanted to do, and it's really kind of the only, about the only one that we've kind of gotten to do in this retirement. But I'm reminded of what Isaiah, when he recorded the words of God in Isaiah 59 and verse 21 says, God says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit, which is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever." Don't let it depart from your mouth, unless, of course, the light that has come in is going out. The light must be going out. If you've got news is for sharing. When was the last time you saw a newscast and the people just sat there? News is for telling. It's for sharing. And we have good news to share. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. That's the news we have to share. That's what Isaiah says in 61 in 1 that I read a while ago. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Now, interestingly enough, that passage was quoted by Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Now, when you go to Luke chapter 4, you know that He's in the synagogue. He comes to the city and he goes to the synagogue, as was the habit of those who were teachers in those days. So he shows up in the synagogue. Now he's been doing all these amazing things. People are beginning to hear. The news, the good news about him is traveling. And so he walks into the synagogue, must have been quite a stir. And so the leader of the synagogue, there were two chairs that were a part of the synagogue. I don't know that this is still the same. Probably should have asked Melinda. She attends synagogue at times. But there are two chairs. There is the Pasharah, okay, and which is the chair for those who are teaching. These are those who teach from the law, the Pasharah. And then there's the Haftarah, which is the chair that's occupied by those who are teaching from the prophets. So they have the teaching from the law, and then they have, and then the whoever's doing that then sits down in that chair. That's why it's important. That's why when we call someone who heads up a particular pursuit in the university, we call them, they are the chairman. The chairman of their department. Why is that? Because they would deem that they have something to say. So he would take the seat after he would talk about the law. He would give a teaching on the law and the Pasharah, and then they would have the teaching from the prophets, the Haftarah. And as he would then teach from the prophets, then there was always someone who expounded on all that, like the preacher kind of a thing. You know, in some churches, if you go to some of the older churches, especially if you travel in Europe or some of those places, we've been blessed to be able to do that in years past. You know, they have split pulpits a lot of times. Have you ever been to a facility like that where they have split pulpits, where they have a pulpit over here, and there's always a staircase that you have to ascend to the pulpit? Do you know what I'm talking about? Only about three or four of you are doing like this, okay? So anyway, they would go, and it was this is where there would be typically today a teaching, usually from the law or the reading of Scripture. And then there's the preacher, and he's over here. And if you'll ever notice, the preacher's deal is always a little bit bigger, a little bit taller, you know, as though he's got something to say. He's going to expound on the Scripture. So here's what happened in Luke 4. This passage is read. Jesus is given the scroll of Isaiah. Now, you know, we don't know if when the leader of the synagogue had the scroll and already had it open to this particular passage, or I have a sense, I don't know. I've got a list of 1,401 questions I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven, and this is one of them. I just want to know, Jesus, the scroll that you received from Isaiah that we have recorded the story in Luke 4, did the leader of the synagogue, did he say, now here, it's unfolded, I want you to read from this one right here, Jesus, go ahead and read. Or did he just hand you the scroll and you had that in your heart to read? I have a sense it's the latter. But, you know, either way, it doesn't matter, okay? For me, it doesn't matter. And so he reads from this scroll of Isaiah, this very passage from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Let me finish that verse. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. So all that stuff in Isaiah 59 that God says, this stuff that's in you, don't let it depart from your mouth. Don't let it depart from your offspring or your offspring's offspring now and forever. Unless it's to share. It's to share the good news. Ken did such a wonderful job last Sunday of laying out for us of what sin has done in our lives and how it is we're in bondage not to Satan, but to sin. We're in bondage to sin. And that's not something that, you know, even Eve, when it all started and stuff, we could really pick at Eve if we wanted to, but it was a choice. Nobody forced her to do anything. And nobody forces you to do anything. It's a choice that you make. But why would you make that choice when you've been set free? Oh, shout it out, church. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Why would anybody want to go back into bondage? Why would we want to do that? And so to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim, verse 2, the favorable year of the Lord. And he goes on to say, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. Now, you know, there's some who kind of get their panties in a bunch because he didn't use that day of vengeance whenever he read from Isaiah. Don't get hung up on that. I've got my own opinion about that. Michael and I were talking about this, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago or so. And he said, yeah, I kind of got my opinion about that and kind of got me thinking about that. And I thought, yeah, I do. I do too. I wonder why he did not talk about the vengeance. That's just an opinion. Okay, we don't really know. I don't think it's revealed any place in the Gospels of why Jesus only went and ended by saying to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And then he stopped there, said he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the leader, and then he sat down. He's the chairman. And he began to expound on that. You want to talk about a short sermon? He reads from, that's his text, hands it to the leader of the synagogue, sits down and he says, this is the day. Today's the day. That stuff I just read, fulfilled today. Now let's sing Just As I Am. You know, I mean, it was one of those, it was a short sermon. A little shorter than this one. I got to hurry. But don't get hung up on this omission. I personally think that those who are in darkness, how dark? Deep darkness, real dark, okay? I don't think they really need to be reminded how dark their dark is. Whenever I talk with people, they're pretty much aware of the mess they're in. They may not readily admit it, but they're pretty much aware of just how bad it is. Oh, you know, it's like usually one of these kinds of deals whenever I'm sharing the gospel with people. Oh, you don't have any idea what I'm going through. Oh, try me. Try me. Yeah, I don't think they need to be reminded how dark their dark is. They know it's real dark. You know, people that know a dark thing or two, they've seen a dark thing or two, haven't they? Are you with me? So how dark? Real dark. Let me tell you how dark. I read 5 Psalms a day and 1 proverb a day. Every day. I don't know that I've ever read or had quiet times early in the morning for the purpose of sermon building. I don't think I ever have. I read it for me. I read it so I hear God speaking to me. What are you saying to me today? A fresh word today. Or just give me an old stale word. I'm okay. Just give me a word. Give me a word today. And so a couple days ago, I was reading Psalm 106. It was part of my reading. I read, you know, if you read 5 Psalms a day and 1 proverb a day, you can read the entire Psalms and all of Proverbs every month. Think about that. 31 Proverbs. Now, I know it's a little stretch when you're in February and when you're in, let's see, 30 days has September, April, June, and November. I never have learned the thing on the knuckles. So you got to double up on things on the 30th day. I mean, you don't have to on the 30th, but on the 31st day, you got to either double up or you got to take a break. Well, who wants to take a break when you know you're free? A couple days ago, I was reading Psalm 106. I'm going to tell you how dark things are for those that live in darkness. How dark? Deep darkness, real dark. So you don't have to turn to this necessarily, but I just went through this and I put a circle by every one of these things and a P by every one of these. Problem. It's the problem. Okay. Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord or can show forth all his praise? Verse 2. And then the problems start. Verse 7. Our fathers in Egypt, they didn't understand. Problem. That's a problem. They did not remember. That's a problem. They rebelled. I'd say that's a problem. They did not wait for his counsel. That's a problem. They craved intensely. That's a problem. They became envious. Problem? Problem? Is it a problem? It's a problem. Verse 20, they exchanged their glory for the image of a cow. That's a problem. They forgot their Savior. Problem. Despised the pleasant land. Problem. Grumbled in their tents. Problem. Did not listen to the voice of the Lord. Problem. Joined themselves also to Baal Peor. Problem. They provoked him. Problem. They also provoked him to wrath of the waters of the Meribah. Problem. Because they were rebellious against his spirit. Problem. He spoke rashly with his lips. Problem. They mingled with the nations. Boy, if that's not a picture of today's church, I don't know what is. They mingled with the nations. That's a problem. They learned their practices. That's a problem. They served their idols. Problem. They became a snare to them. Problem. Even sacrificed their sons and their daughters. Problem. Don't you dare vote for anybody that's going to support this abortion stuff. Sorry, I almost said. Shed innocent blood. That's a problem. Became unclean in their practices. Problem. Played the harlot. Problem. And yet verse 44 of Psalm 106 says this. Nevertheless,
He, meaning God, looked upon their distress when he heard their cry, and he remembered his covenant for their sake. Oh, God, thank you that you've remembered your covenant for us and have set us free and relented according to the greatness of his or your loving kindness. God also made them objects of compassion. Aren't you glad that you've been made an object of his compassion in the presence, right in the presence of their captors? He did this thing. No wonder he begins Psalm 107 by saying, so let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're to be priests and ministers. That's what Isaiah says. In Isaiah 61, in verse 6, it says, but you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. And your place in all of this has already been stated in verse 4 when he says you'll rebuild the ancient ruins. You'll raise up the former devastations. You'll repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Now next Sunday, you're going to be hearing about the impact of the gospel for the nations. I don't want you to miss next Sunday. Here's how Peter put it in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. He says, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. That's such a funny phrase in Greek. It's two words. And yet, in my New American Standard, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words. But there's just two words in the Greek, hapos and here is the other word. Exelangeti. Now that doesn't mean anything to you. But we get our English transliterated word exaggerate from that Greek word. So that we've been, we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. So that you can make a big deal out of the fact that I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. And that's our job. We're to arise, shine. Your light has come. But now the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. He has anointed you to bring good news to those who have never heard and have never responded. He's called you out of darkness. How dark? Into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people. Now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy. But now you have received mercy. Come on, somebody. Shout it out. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. I don't know that we ought to do Oh Happy Day again. I trust you so totally, and I'm so glad to have you back. I just want you to, I don't know, just, if you want to sing something, or you don't want to sing anything, or something quiet, maybe, instead of something raucous. Acts 4:31, I close with this, says that, when they had all gathered together in one place, they prayed. And the place where they were was shaken. And they began to
speak the word of God with boldness. Last week, in context, last week you heard about this bondage to sin and how God has redeemed us. He sent a redeemer in Jesus. The once and for all sacrifice to get rid of our sin. Today's message, if there is a takeaway from this, it's this. What on earth are redeemed and set free people to do? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I want to pray for you. And I've got two things up here that I've been set free. The light has already come. It's a done deal. But you know how it is? Sometimes we just... He used to work for a guy down on Bourbon Street. He used to always call it slop bucket repentance. He said most people, whenever they give their heart to Christ, they put all their slop in a bucket, and instead of getting rid of the bucket, they go and put it in a closet somewhere. So that at a moment of weakness, they go back to it. And first they just start by knowing that it's in the closet. They might even touch the closet door and they say, yeah, I know it's in there, but I've been set free. I've been set free. And then in another moment of weakness, they go over and they turn the knob and then they open it up and they just sniff. Yep, that's slop. That's my old junk that I've been set free of that. And then in another moment of weakness, they go back and this time they open the door and they look in and they take the dipper that's in the bucket and they bring it up to their lips and they take just a taste. Then they put it down and say, oh, that's horrible. I can't believe I'm doing this. And they shut the door and they go back to living like they're supposed to. And then in a moment of weakness, they go back and they just can't take it. And they go back, they open the door, they run in, they grab the bucket and they chug it. I got a couple of those things that just really being vulnerable with you right now. I don't have a problem with sex and all that junk. So don't let your mind get going crazy, okay? But I put mine on it's not a freedom wall, it's a freedom table, I guess. And I put it on sticky notes. You have anything that you need to be set free of or just be reminded that you've already been set free of something? Would anybody want to write anything on a sticky note? Anybody at all? And you can put it wherever you want. Or you don't have to respond to that, okay? Now this is the pastor, so you all don't be looking at what he's writing now. Anything that you just... And again, everybody doesn't need to come up here, okay? Just put it anywhere on the table. I don't care where you put it. Stick it to the top of the table. Yeah, let's sing that. That's good, Ken. I'm glad you're doing that. Oh, sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Sing that again.
Oh, sing hallelujah.
First, men.
Oh, sing hallelujah.
Ladies.
Sing hallelujah to the
don't know who's writing it. Come on up and write. Stick it on the table. Anybody else?
Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
And I want you to keep playing that. Ken ended with a powerful invitation, asking people to pray. If you've never come to the place where you've said yes to Jesus, you realize He set you free. The light has, do you understand? The light has come in. So arise, shine, for your light has come. And so that has happened. And there may be that there are some of you who prayed along with Ken. I don't know. But if you did, if you prayed that prayer along with King Ken, I'm going to just ask you to, I hope this isn't uncomfortable, would you stand right up here? If you prayed that prayer last week with Ken, I want you to come and I just want you to tell him. All you got to say is, I prayed the prayer. And we'll wait. I'm going to pray for you right now because, man, I want to see this place shaken. And I want the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon you so that you, the redeemed, can say so this week. Heavenly Father, come Lord, come Lord, come Lord, and fill this house, but not this house. Now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Fill this house, O God, this temple. Fill it, O God, with your presence. May the Spirit of the Lord come and rest upon us, O God, so that we can, as the redeemed, say so this week, to tell our friends, our neighbors, tell everyone that we meet. Oh, you don't understand. I once was lost, but now I'm found. There was a time when I was in a dark place. I mean real dark. I know a dark thing or two because I've seen a dark thing or two. But no more. He set me free. God did something for me through Jesus that I could never do for myself. And I'm telling you, I'm free, I'm free. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And you can be free too. So come, Holy Spirit, and empower this, your people. Fill this house, O God, with your Spirit, that we might be empowered to be witnesses. That's what your word says. And the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses. You'll receive power, and you'll be my witnesses wherever you go. So come, Lord. Come, Lord. If anyone prayed that prayer last week with Ken, you please tell Ken, okay? We want to know about it. Let's all stand and let's sing this song.
Sing hallelujah.
Ladies,
this week, empower us to say so to someone this week in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Malcolm, the service is yours, buddy.